Most of us have probably been in the situation where we have started something, got halfway through, and then begun to regret ever having started. So at some point, it may have seemed like a great idea to start running, but halfway through that long run, you forget all about the health benefits, you forget the no pain, no gain advice, and you just want to stop and get the bus home. Or maybe it's that DIY project around the house or the garden. You started with great gusto, but sooner rather than later, the gusto runs out and the project is left unfinished. And if the DIY SOS programs on TV are to be believed, this is not an uncommon problem. There seem to be many homes around the country with DIY jobs just waiting to be finished. People, for whatever reason, just couldn't keep going with the project. The initial enthusiasm is gone, and the house is left to look like a building site, or the garden like a wilderness. Or maybe it's clearing out the roof space or that cupboard. You've been meaning to get round to it for years, and you get stuck into it. And then after you've sifted through the fourth box of old photographs, you realize why you've been putting it off for years, and you quietly put the boxes back where they were, hoping that somehow they will miraculously sort themselves out, and you give up. Maybe it's about the work you do in church. Good work, important work, work that we feel called to. But after a while it becomes hard going, an uphill struggle. For whatever reason, maybe it's tiredness, maybe it's cynicism, maybe disappointment, but for whatever reason we run out of steam and we feel like giving up. It could be that living the Christian life has become a constant struggle for you. So when you're faced with the temptation to give up and walk away, what do you do? How do you keep going when everything seems to tell you that it's time to call it a day? During a very difficult time in the history of his people, God had chosen the prophet Jeremiah to speak for him. The worship of idols, religious insincerity, dishonesty, adultery, injustice, tyranny against the helpless had become the norm in that society rather than the exception. And it was Jeremiah's job to speak out against all of this and to make it clear that God would not leave this sin unpunished. Well, as you can imagine, this message didn't win Jeremiah too many friends, and yet he kept on going. Because of the God-given message which he preached, Jeremiah was threatened, he was tried for his life, he was put in stocks, he was forced to flee from the king, he was publicly humiliated, he was thrown into a pit, and still he kept going. In our reading from chapter 25 of Jeremiah, we read these words: "For 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, Jeremiah, and I have spoken to you, God's people, again and again, but you have not listened." Now, in anyone's thinking, 23 years is a long time. But when that 23 years is marked by either indifference to what you're doing or downright opposition, then it must seem like a very, very long time. But perhaps Jeremiah had developed the skin of a rhino over the years. Maybe all of that hassle just washes off his back. Maybe, but that isn't the case. When you read through this book, you discover that this man, Jeremiah, is given to self-analysis and self-criticism. And in many ways, he's quite timid. When God initially calls him to this work, Jeremiah's immediate response is to be aware of his own inadequacy. "Sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." Jeremiah often struggles with the ministry to which God has called him. He questions God about what he's doing. "You are always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? Why is my pain unending, my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? And Jeremiah knows that all of this is because he's doing what God wants him to do. It is because he's trying to be faithful to God. And so he says, I sat alone because your hand, O God, was on me. My heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine. Why? Because of the Lord and his holy words. Now, those don't sound like the words of someone who is unaware of what's going on around him or someone who is insensitive. Rather, it is the complete opposite. Jeremiah sees and understands what's going on around him with an intensity that the rest of his countrymen are lacking. He is keenly aware of what God is doing, and he struggles with it, yet stays obedient, and not just for a wee while, but for 23 long years and still going. How does he do it? As you read through the book of Jeremiah, it becomes apparent that although life is awful for him at times, his focus is not on the hardship. He's certainly realistic. He doesn't ever pretend that all is well. Listen to him. Oh, my anguish. I writhe in pain. Oh, the agony of my heart. My heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent. But he doesn't spend his days complaining about how difficult life is. The author, Dale Carnegie, is reported to have written this little rhyme. Two men looked through prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. It is all too easy to become problem-centered rather than being God-centered, to see the mud and not the stars. Jeremiah's focus is on God. He knows that God has called them to this arduous work. It wasn't some whim of his own. God had called him. Listen to God's call on Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And because of this call, Jeremiah knew who he was and what he was supposed to do for God. That didn't mean that life got easier for him. Far from it. But the memory of God's call in his life and the fact that God frequently reaffirmed that calling made Jeremiah both fearless and persistent in the service of his God. And there was also the promise of the presence of God with him. Often God promised Jeremiah, they will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you to rescue and save you. No matter how dark life seemed to be, Jeremiah knew that God was always with him. No matter how chaotic the world around him seemed to be, Jeremiah trusted that God was working out his purposes. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too difficult for me? God's call on Jeremiah's life and his presence with him changed a hard life into what was still a hard life, but one that now had both meaning and purpose. But that was long ago, far away. What difference does it make to us in our own situations here and now? Many of us have personal circumstances that want to make us cry out in anguish like Jeremiah. And part of the encouragement of the Bible is that it is okay to cry out to God, for he understands, he remembers, and he cares. But it's not just about our own personal situations. Over these last few weeks, all of us have been shocked by the trail of atrocities across Europe. It would be easy to despair, to throw up our hands and give up. The letter to the Hebrews was written to people who felt just this way. They too had doubts. They too were tempted to give up living the Christian life. And just like Jeremiah, they were under intense pressure. And because of the persecution which they faced, they considered throwing in the towel. So the writer calls them to lift their eyes, to see a cloud of witnesses, heroes of the faith, people whose lives point both to the power of faith and more especially to the faithfulness of God. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is full of examples of faithful, persistent witnesses, just like Jeremiah. And although he is not named in this chapter, he is included as one of the prophets. But there are also many in more recent history, and many today, who live vibrant Christian lives in the face of awful persecution. As we hear their stories, we can learn so much from them, and their inspiring examples can encourage us to keep on going. But most of all, the writer to the Hebrews points us to Jesus, calls us to fix our eyes on him so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Jeremiah had focused his faith on God and his promises. Those promises are now fulfilled in Jesus, and salvation is now complete in him. This is the Jesus who knows what anguish is like. As he contemplated his own death on the cross, Jesus was deeply distressed and troubled. He prayed that the hour might pass from him. Jesus understands distress and anguish. But in the midst of all this, he still prays, "Not what I will, but what you will." This is the Jesus who endured the cross for you and me, so that our sins might be forgiven and we might be adopted into God's family. Without Jesus, we would have no hope when life gets difficult. The only reason that we can throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and that drags us and this world down is that Jesus has died and has risen again. In the face of trouble, either in our own lives or in the world around us, Jesus is the only reason we have to hope for the future. He very plainly states our condition. In this world, you will have trouble. But thankfully, he doesn't leave us with that stark reality, for he continues, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus is not only the supreme witness who stayed faithful to the end, he is also the one who gives us the grace to persevere in every circumstance. This means that when we are under pressure as Christians, we do not simply hunker down and wait for Jesus to come back, tempting though that is at times. Rather, through God's grace, we are enabled to live faithfully in whatever our circumstance. When we're tempted to become discouraged, we need to remember who God is and all that he has done for us. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says that we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. To use the famous mastermind phrase, "He has started, so he will finish." God never gives up when the going gets tough. He never leaves a job half done. He brings to completion what he has begun. When life gets tough and we wonder whether we can keep going, may God give to us the grace to recall his goodness and greatness and to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. In response, we join together to say,